indeed been delivered unto him. And mankind with it. Jesus later himself referred to Satan as the prince of this world. And Paul referred to him as the god of this world. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it also describes the hierarchy of... No, that's in Ephesians. In Ephesians, we have the Apostle Paul describing the hierarchy of the fallen angels as the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of this dark world, of this dark age. When Alice Bailey, who I've referred to, she was in the occult, very much in the occult. She was an occultist prophetess, and then she became, as it were, she wanted to become more mainstream, religious. And as I say, she didn't coin the phrase New Age, but she brought in a lot of her demonic doctrines and teachings and surmisings into the New Age. When Alice Bailey describes Sanat Kumara as the Lord of this world, she is merely referring to a cleverly repackaged Satan, the one who is in the control of the earth, obviously under God's sovereignty. The adversary, the devil, is the prince of the age. He's the god of this world. The kingdoms of this world were given to him for a time being. And he is our adversary, both of God and of man. And the devil is constantly manipulating and scheming to keep us from the saving knowledge of the one true God and from our Messiah. He's constantly scheming and bringing up new thoughts, although it's old thoughts dressed up in new language, to keep us from getting out of the mess we're in. That's his plan. Thank God he isn't the ultimate victor. Christ is. Oh, by the way, and speaking about repackaging Satan to make him appealing more to the minds of this age, unfortunately, we have repackaged Satan in the form of Santa. Have nothing to do with him or your children. Many children are idolizing a repackaged Satan. It is true that many faiths predict a coming figure who will lead humanity. Religions, Islam, the New Age, Hinduism, so many have this figurehead who they may call Christ, the Savior, Master, and so on. But only Christianity predicts a great deceiver will also come. Only Christianity predicts that a deceiver will come. That is the Antichrist. And the purpose of this great deceiver will be a final attempt by Satan, who is the god of this world, to keep men from the true knowledge of their Creator. Satan only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. 2 Corinthians teaches, as I've already mentioned, whose mind the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan blinds the minds of them which believe not. And that is what makes salvation and the gospel of God's grace so amazing, so wonderful. That we who were blind, we who were lost, we who were steeped in our own mess, he came to set us free. That's amazing grace. And it's a salvation for all. No wonder the enemy, the foe of Christ and of Christianity, of the people of God, is doing all he can to infiltrate Christianity, biblical Christianity beliefs, with perverted doctrines, perverted teachings. He hates us and wants people to share an eternity with him. But thank God, Christ has the answer. And today, it is still the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Hallelujah. God loves the New Ager. He is not willing that any should perish. Okay, how does New Age impact us? I've talked a little bit about how I fear. Oh, I splashed my glasses, I can't see now. That's made them a lot worse. Oh, never mind. How the emerging church is in bed with much of the teaching of the New Age. But how does New Age, how can it creep in to society, into culture, which may impact you, or may impact me, my family? Well, subtly, the lie creeps in because Christians begin to research natural or holistic medicines, alternatives which may be good and God-honoring, but for years were shunned by Christians. And thus, we can, by default, enter New Age territory. Or a doctor may recommend yoga or meditation to reduce stress. I was told very recently that a dose of acupuncture would help me. There's not much hope. I shouldn't have thought acupuncture would, but never mind. Friends, no matter how uplifting and innocent some New Age practices appear, we do need discernment in these areas. We really do. And I don't want to bring fear into you or fear into me. God forbid, if you're seeking to be led by the Holy Spirit and you're immersed in this world, he will keep you from harm. He will keep you from evil. He will keep you. He will teach you truth. So don't get fearful about this. But obviously there are warnings in Scripture that we don't become deceived. And it's so subtle because it's dressed up so nicely. Who doesn't want to be stress-free? Who doesn't want to have 8 hours sleep? We do need discernment. And the more that we understand the distinctions between New Age religion, and it is a religion, humanism is a religion, you know, it's a religion, the more we understand the distinctions between New Age religion and Christianity, I think the less vulnerable we are ourselves, and better able to address the confusion of people who may be earnestly seeking the truth. We want to help people. I want to be helped. I want to help others. New Agers do not believe in evil. You know that. New Agers do not believe in evil. Therefore, they do not accept man's problem as separation by sin from God. Do you know, that's an interesting thing. As I was typing some of this up on my computer, the word thing wouldn't accept sin. It would wanted sign and it wanted this and t'other. So even my computer doesn't believe in it now. It's obviously a new age. I've got to get a new one, please. So they won't accept sin. They won't accept that we are separated from God because of our transgression, because of the fall of man, because of our pride, because of our iniquity. They don't accept that. Instead, they believe that each of us has forgotten his or her, our own divinity. That's what we've forgotten, our divinity. Therefore, the New Age solution is to seek higher consciousness, enlightenment. And how do we get it? Through meditation, through breathing exercises, through yoga, through particular diets, through crystals, through channeling, through spirit guides, and so on. And each of these diverse practices has the one purpose: to awaken the God that is within us. That's the purpose, to awaken the God that is in you, to awaken the God that is within me. And while these practices may seem so far ridiculous to pose much of a threat to those who are believers and those who are wanting to abide in the truth, we do need to be on our guard. Of course we do. In the past 20 years or so, New Age influence has been steadily creeping into our culture. It's been steadily creeping into our schools, into our doctor's surgeries, into businesses, into corporate places of business and so on. And let me tell you, since Star Wars, I could never abide it, but since Star Wars, movies have become dominated by New Age spirituality. Reincarnation, karma, the cosmic consciousness. All these obscure ideas have become commonplace. They've become commonplace. And I maintain, friends, that a true understanding of New Age practices makes one thing clear. Eastern practices, Eastern mysticism, cannot be blended into Christianity. No way. It cannot be blended into Christianity to produce something better. New Agers and Universalists believe that all paths lead to God. And they fought Christians. They tell us that we are narrow-minded and intolerant. You're hearing that a lot now. We've got to be tolerant. And it's all the devil speak, and it's dressed up and as if we're the guilty party. But God's word does anticipate this, you know, funnily enough. Jesus himself said, enter the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the path that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small, narrow is the gate. Narrow the road that leads to life. And he says, only a few find it. That's in Matthew chapter 7. The mindset of the New Age, you know, evolution. That's straight from the pit. But it's New Agers, it's those who have the New Age mindset who are promoting evolution, and that we're all evolving, and we're all evolving into God. You see, and that's why it's so iniquitous. You may have slightly different views on creation, you're a creationist and so on, and I'm not going down that route now, but you cannot be an evolutionist and a Bible-believing believer, Christian. You can't. But to evolving New Agers, the end goal of global oneness justifies any questionable ways or means. So it is not surprising, friends, to find school classrooms carrying out a curriculum that works towards fulfilling this lofty vision. And of course, it began with teaching evolution as science, as fact. The formula that substitutes counterfeit values for God's wisdom can also change the world. So they say, out with the old, crush the old. Then out of the ashes will arise a new earth, a world free from guilt, a world free from oppression, a world free from poverty, a world free from fear. And the time is ripe to buy the lie, because the force will soon appear. And you know, this transformation is New Age word, paradigm shifts is New Age words. It all entered the vocabulary of the Christian church, particularly emerging church, transformation. We are transformed from inside out by the power of the Holy Spirit. They're talking about another transformation. And this paradigm shifts was coined by New Age people, yet it's entered the Christian church. I hate the words. Words themselves don't mean nothing, they're not iniquitous, but what they portray. So this transformation has vastly accelerated as millions around the globe await the new age, the new spirituality, the world of harmony, the world of love, the world of oneness. A world evolved God-men, all following the wisdom of self. All following the wisdom of self. That's why Jesus said, or the Lord says in his word and in the letter of James, he says, you know, if you're mine, if you're a follower of me, and you need wisdom, you need direction, you need help, you need insight, ask me. Talk to me about it. Because all other wisdom, at best, is earthly, as best it's, but at worst, is from the pit. And what the wisdom that these dear people are promoting is from the pit. It's because it's the wisdom of self. You can become gods. You are God. Just recognize the God within you, the divinity within you. And to inspire a consciousness explosion, many New Age leaders, they may not call themselves New Age, but they've embraced the philosophy, they're reading the books, they're looking at the films, including the Numa films of Robert Bell. I've gotten his name wrong, it doesn't matter. But they're determined, is that right? They're determined to win a critical mass of minds. And children, our children, will be a prime target of the mystery efforts. Schools are our greatest battlefield. And friends, unless we help our children build, as it were, a mental and biblical framework, a framework that is filtered on biblical truth, the world's philosophies will squeeze them into its mould. And that's why, even in this church, I'm passionate that we get a children's work established, reaching out to the community, reaching out to the neighbourhood. Because by and large, they have been fed lies. It is essential that in the minds of the New Age that they get the children, indoctrinate them. There's no absolutes. This climate change and this green, and friends, we've got to be good stewards of this earth. And I do think that possibly Clifford Hill is correct when he says that this torrential rain and wind and the storms, which is bringing so much havoc and distress to so many, is a sign of God's judgment, and we need to turn to the Lord in repentance. Because so many wicked things are taking place, laws are being passed and so on. Philip gave a wonderful talk 2 or 3 months back about God's judgments and so on and so forth, and about where will the house of the Lord stand. But God wants his people to be righteous, to stand for truth, to stand for his ways, to be good representatives of him. And when we pervert that, And when we believe a lie, his wrath is, he's angry. But as a nation, as a church, we need to turn to the Lord in repentance. The psalmist said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies." Friends, I really, really, you know, don't want to bring any of us into sort of fear of bondage or thinking that we can't go out of our front door. But this is so that we are prepared and help others. You see, on one of the school websites, a question is posed. How do you make a bunch, and it uses the word bunch, which I thought strange. How do you make a bunch of 9-year-olds improve their grades? Question mark. How do you make a bunch of 9-year-olds improve their grades? Question mark. You had to click. Just make them lie on the floor and meditate. That was the answer. Many schools, and probably I about 2 years ago, maybe slightly more. Time goes so quick. But there were 10 schools in Essex, primary schools, infants and primary schools, who had received £20,000 of government grant, government money, to promote yoga. So they would practice yoga with 4-year-olds up to 11-year-olds. Now, I'll tell you, 10 years ago, people would have laughed. They'd scorned at such an idea. But today, children's yoga is practiced and is accepted in many, many schools. Many, many schools. School websites are promoting the benefits of primary school children doing a spot of yoga. And you see, they will point to the perceived benefits. I read on one of the websites, weekly lessons in the ancient discipline have helped to improve concentration and even raise academic performances among pupils as young as 4, quoting teachers. That may be so. You see, the devil, you know, if it was just bring them so that they were complete ignorant, name ignorant, whatever. Thank you. It wouldn't bother, would he? So as always, there's, you know, some problem. And these classes, they're hour-long in some of these schools. And you can find, I found this all on the websites. They include guidance on how to control breathing using meditation techniques. And as I say, they're being trialled in, or they were being trialled, and now many schools up and down the land have adopted it. And I'm aware I've got teachers here, so they may have come across it themselves. We won't, and we've refused in the school which I'm involved in, although having said that, they do have yoga classes for adults after school as a after-school thing, which I don't like. Friends, there's nothing wrong with stretching, exercising or regulating one's stress through breathing. There's nothing wrong in that. But when the tenets of yoga are included, it's by definition a worship act. Okay? By definition, it's a worship act to bring is a worship act to a spirit or two spirits, to beings other than the God of the Bible. As someone has pointed out by way of an analogy, there is nothing inherently wrong with intimacy, with sex, and with pleasure. But when the tenets of adultery are included, it's a sinful, idolatrous worship act. And he says, a faithful Christian can no more say they are practicing yoga for Jesus Christ than they can say they are committing adultery for Jesus. If you practice yoga, you practice Hinduism. And my sister over there will back me up there. If you practice yoga, you are practicing Hinduism. And the more you do it, the more you open yourself up to the spiritual side of it. And whether they know it or not, Christians who engaged in yoga are participating in a religious expression that is opposite to Christianity. It is. The unfortunate result is often an unguarded spirit that is susceptible to the many lies of Satan, and a slow, almost unperceivable degradation of faith and Christian truth in one's life. You've opened something which then begins to take over. That's the nature of spirit worship, other than the worship of Christ through the Holy Spirit. And Romans 12 verse 1, which I quoted earlier, is clear that what we do with our bodies is worshipful towards the God of the Bible, or it's to something else. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Present your bodies. Everything that we do with our physical bodies also involves our souls. We are one person, and whatever we do involves and affects the totality of who we are. Friends, there are all kinds of postures in the Bible, but none are yoga postures. We pray with words, not by the position of our body. And of course, sometimes we are praying when we're prostrate before him. We have to prostrate before him. Sometimes we find it helpful to kneel or to stand. This is biblical. People pray when they are comfortable and at peace. People pray when they're uncomfortable and in pain. Our prayer does not become more powerful or heard by our body's position. But in the emergent church movement, this practice, along with other religious practices, is being accepted and it's being integrated into church meetings. It's not so much so in the UK yet, but certainly in the USA, you will go on websites and you'll see that Rick Warren often participates in conferences where Christian yoga, so-called, is practiced. There is no such thing as Christian yoga. In an article posted, The Emergent Gathering, and then in the smaller print, it said, a gathering of those pursuing advanced conversations and deepening relationships in the emerging ministry world. And then the person who is presenting this says, fair warning, I'm about to reveal some of the secret wisdom of the Eastern art of yoga. See, what they are saying, friends, is that instead of the mantra and instead of saying the things which people who practice yoga, you would recite Psalm 23 or the Lord's Prayer or so on. But the bodily positions and the breathing and the meditation, you cannot Christianize it. It's either of the devil or it's not. Just because yoga is used by Christians does not change its origin. Sorry, it doesn't change its origin. It doesn't change the nature of energy or the altered states of consciousness it brings. The same energy is released. The Holy Spirit will not glorify Jesus through such a thing which we have just trying to imitate, though, and just so that we can become oneness with each other. Empty your minds. That's what in yoga you have to empty your mind. You have to empty your mind. I can remember, and they're still around, some TV evangelists and others who say, you've got to empty your mind, you've got to empty your mind. Friends, we're not told to empty our mind, we're told to renew our mind. There's a huge difference. If you empty your mind and start repeating mantras, even if they may sound biblical, you're opening yourselves up, you're giving yourself open, allowing yourself to be drawn to spirits which are not from Christ. That's the way they impact humans, our bodies, our souls. Empty your mind so that you can reach the realization of being one with the universe. The physical exercises themselves are religious. The physical exercises are religious. It's Hindu ritual. And they're designed to bring a person into contact with spiritual beings. So if you have got involved in yoga at all, and it may well have been recommended to you by a doctor, a practitioner, or somebody who meant well, I would urge you not to do any more. Ask the Lord for forgiveness and for his blood to cleanse you, to set you free. If you know of anybody who is into yoga, they will justify it, but they are on dangerous ground, friends. It is from the pit. It's exercises, etc., and the techniques that are being used, whatever word you put to it, that come from Eastern mysticism, from the occult, from other worlds. New Age, ancient and modern. I pray that, friends, I don't want to come over as negative. I really, really don't. If the word did not say, take care that you're not deceived, if the word did not say that in these last days there will be all sorts of spirits at work, that men will not love doctrine and sound teaching, but will have itching ears to listen and to go after other things, the force, the counterfeit, I wouldn't bother. I wouldn't have bothered even coming tonight. But I think we have a love for the truth, and we want to help others have a love for the truth, have a love for Jesus, and to be set free from the ways of man, to be set free from demonic influences. And thank God he can set each and every one of us free. Praise be to his name. Amen.